Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the REIT Report. I'm Jessica Long, NAREIT's SVP for Environmental Stewardship and Sustainability. And joining me today is Nina Galbiati, the Global Sustainability Lead for Norges Bank Real Estate Investments. Norges has been an influential leader in promoting the adoption of sustainability for real estate companies globally for many years. And today we are going to discuss how the real estate industry is addressing a key challenge of decarbonization planning. Welcome, Nina.
Hi, Jessica. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about Norges Bank and the importance of ESG in delivering risk-adjusted returns for your real estate portfolio?
Yes, absolutely. So responsible investment has always been part of our core investment strategy at Norges. If you think about it, we are a long-term and globally diversified investor. So our ability to generate long-term returns is going to depend on sustainable development in economic, environmental, and social terms. And as far as our real estate portfolio is concerned, so we invest in listed and unlisted real estate under a combined strategy. Right now, our real estate exposure is around 4.1% of the fund, which equates to around $55 billion. Although it's a small allocation on a fund basis, we are still a large global real estate investor. And that is invested roughly half in the US and then 45% in Europe and the rest in Asia. And in our unlisted real estate portfolio, we focus on office, retail, and logistics, while our listed real estate portfolio spans across many more sectors. And what we're currently seeing is this, that real estate is facing a tremendous pressure to decarbonize. This is partly regulatory pressure, but it's definitely coming from a shift in demand from tenants as well as investors. And we don't think the current market valuation is pricing those risks adequately today. So incorporating these ESG considerations into your investment process, and we think ultimately builds better investment cases and leads to better investment decisions. But maybe just to point out, so it's not just about managing risk, right? Mitigating and adapting to these structural changes are likely to create significant economic opportunities. So to give you an example, we are starting to see real evidence, especially coming from Europe, that there is greater demand for net zero building, translating into higher rental rates and better liquidity if and when you decide to sell your assets.
I think at this point, it's really important for real estate companies to communicate what their strategy is to bring this into their investment thesis, if you will, instead of expecting that there's a list of things that you're going to check the boxes and do, that, like you said, you're really taking in what's happening and thinking about risks and opportunities associated with environmental topics, especially carbon and decarbonization. So going a little further, investors globally are seeking to align their portfolio with the goals of the Paris Agreement, and that is to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. So to do that, they're really looking for portfolio companies to be the ones to assess, plan, and implement decarbonization plans and targets that are aligned with climate science. Can you share a little bit on Norges' approach to engaging with real estate companies to drive decarbonization within your portfolio, across the sector, and really in the economy as a whole?
Absolutely. And first, maybe just let me start by saying that, so this is a huge undertaking, right? And one of the benefits we have by investing both on the unlisted side and the listed side is that, you know, we are working on those problem sets every day. And so we understand the challenges. In our unlisted portfolio, we have a 2050 net zero commitment. And we also have an intermediary target of reducing emissions by 40% by 2030 without using any offsets. So this is something we are working hard on also ourselves. And what we've learned is that, so there is no silver bullet, unfortunately. So in our engagement with real estate companies, we try not to be too prescriptive. They are the experts on their sector and region, and they need to develop a plan specific to their challenges. What we do push for, though, is for them to have a strategy grounded in climate science. And we would also like to see adequate governance accountability mechanisms so that it's possible to track progress. And we have often spoken about this, but, you know, there is a jungle out there of reporting standards. So I think when we can, I think it's also very important to try to simplify that message.
100%. And I think one of the things that we're struggling with as an industry, as we try to communicate that path and the progress towards a point in time where real estate and the built environment can achieve net zero, is really defining what is net zero. And with all the benchmarks and reporting frameworks that are out there, what can companies do to really meet the needs of investors to provide that comparable decision useful disclosure and also tell that story of their plan to and their approach to decarbonize?
For instance, we try not to focus too much on this scope 1, 2, 3 emission, the greenhouse gas protocol. And mainly just because it's a lot of sustainability jargon, quite difficult to understand. When we think of the built environment, we try to separate between operational carbon, which is really the carbon emitted from landlords and tenants while the building is in operation, and embodied carbon, which is all the carbon emitted to construct, renovate, and ultimately demolish the building. And for operational carbon, I think the most comprehensive pathways we have found that aligns with a 1.5-degree decarbonization pathway is this carbon risk real estate monitor, or CREM that we call it. That's a long word. And we know that maybe it does not work for every single sector out there or every single project. But right now, for instance, CREM, together with ULI and Berkeley Lab, has started a North America project where they are trying to get input from real estate companies. And I think it's a great opportunity for more US REITs to get engaged and provide feedback, their specific challenges. And I think it's in the whole industry's interest to make these better. We know that SBTi is also working on integrating these pathways into their target setting tools. So it is starting to emerge as a global standard to measure alignment with the goals of the Paris Agreement for operational carbon. So important to get engaged. And on the embodied carbon side, you know, if you are a real estate development company, a large portion of your carbon is actually going to come from building materials. And that is a harder problem to solve. We have seen SBTi come out with guidance on that as well. We ourselves is actually in a pretty early stage of figuring out just who we need to engage with in the value chain. And I think the real estate community as a whole has a huge opportunity here in leaning in and also making better data, more reliable data, more comparable embodied carbon data, in pushing both material providers, but also more transparency in these whole building lifecycle assessments.
Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at Nayroots REITworks Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and more for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Visit go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report to register. That's go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report.
I couldn't agree more. You know, that we're in this transition time where, you know, we're moving towards a world where it is becoming market standard to disclose certain things. And the challenges are still there that we've all been talking about for many, many years. And so the opportunity to kind of get out there and move the market towards more transparency and more information so that everyone can make better decisions about, you know, what materials they use, the processes. I also think that the CREM project in the Americas is a really exciting time where we have so much information that is available in the US from the US federal government, the EPA, Energy Star, all of these groups that collect and collate data for public consumption. And now it's really about kind of organizing it and bringing it together so that it can be used by the real estate industry to, you know, do some of this more academic work that has been done in Europe that can now be brought over and easily applied in the US using the information and the data that we have available about energy use in buildings, the carbon intensity of the grid in regions, different regions throughout the US, And real estate companies can now start to understand really more about what the carbon footprint of their portfolio is and where the drivers are and make those decisions to make changes in the places where it's going to have the largest impact.
Absolutely. I think you're right.
So going a little bit further into that, so a lot of people in the real estate industry ask, what responsibility do building owners have to decarbonize versus the utilities and energy suppliers? Can you share your thoughts on the relationship between building energy efficiency, energy demand in buildings, and renewable energy supplies in the big picture plan for the real estate sector to decarbonize?
Yes, so I think that's a great question. The answer, unfortunately, is not that straightforward. So I think it depends. So if you look very macro level and the latest IPCC report that came out and the 50% reduction needed until 2030, the data tells us that on average for the whole real estate industry, energy efficiency will need to account for 70 to 75% of this reduction, while decarbonizing energy supplies is around 20, and action on embodied carbon, so the sourcing and use of material, are the remaining 5 to 10%. But as we know, averages don't tell the whole story. So again, different real estate companies will face different challenges. And some real estate sectors will have larger opportunity set around renewable energy and decarbonizing energy supplies. But if you look at the data, part of this is also great news, right? Because there are a lot of great solutions on the market today that can help increase energy efficiency. So that's why I think a very important near-term focus should be on this. It's also, you know, perhaps of all of the levers we have, it's the most effective strategy from a financial, technical, and regulatory perspective. But one thing that is perhaps hindering some of this progress is the alignment and incentives among landlord and tenants. So we are spending some time thinking about how we can change those incentives for the industry as a whole, and as it should be in everyone's interest. And those actions can actually be implemented short term. And what we feel fairly certain about is that, you know, relying on a decarbonizing grid to achieve emission reduction is not going to be adequate. And similarly, just buying a renewable energy contracts, or RECs as we call them, without also reducing energy demand is a bit of a dangerous strategy. There is a lot of uncertainty around energy prices in the future, so that could become costly. And we want to see this energy transition to be equitable. So a lot of the responsibility on the industry, I think, rely on reduction of energy demand.
That is certainly the part that is in the building owner's control, as well as our tenants. And so the idea that working closely with our tenants to understand their demand for energy and how they're using energy more wisely to meet their own targets around decarbonization and understanding, you know, how it all kind of fits together. I think in the end, you know, a decarbonized grid is going to be key. And I think in this period where we're transitioning to a clean energy future, you know, companies do have the option to use market-based solutions to continue to move the grid towards a greener footprint, reduce their own carbon footprint, support their tenants and the things that they're looking for when they're looking for clean energy options. And so I think at this point, it's all hands on deck. It's energy efficiency. It's sending the market signals that clean energy is what we're all looking for in the future. And together, I think that's what it's going to get us to the goals in 2030 and 2050. So U.S. real estate companies are making progress to integrate ESG into their investment process. As net zero carbon assessments are becoming market standard during transactions, as part of capital planning, can you share your thoughts on how asset lifecycle events present the greatest opportunity for these energy efficiency improvements and overall carbon reductions in real estate investments?
So again, important to point out, there is no single silver bullet. And I think that also these decarbonization trajectories, they vary greatly between different assets. But as you were mentioning earlier on, I think a super important starting point is just understanding the current energy consumption of the asset, understanding performance of the major building systems. And it sounds pretty basic, but how can, without measuring these things, how can you even make a plan to decarbonize your asset in the most cost-efficient way, which is like, that's the end goal, right? So But secondly, it's important to have a plan. A lot of this decarbonization project is associated with these huge refurb projects that happen maybe every 30 to 40 years. And if you're doing one, I mean, it's a great time to incorporate those components too. But I think it's also important to think of just the natural attrition in your portfolio. You have tenant roles, you have end of useful life of major equipment. And if you have a sound strategy and you have a plan, then it's easier to take advantage of those opportunities when they come along. So I would say maybe the biggest opportunity here is just to optimize and time this sequencing in intervention. And so keeping in mind your really long-term goal and matching those with the short-term actions.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think one of the things the challenges that we face as sustainability professionals is we're not always in the room and we're not making all of those decisions. And so that's why I think that word integration is so key. Like you said, everyone in the company needs to understand the goals so that they can make the decisions. And so that when they're in the moment deciding on a capital project or implementing an operational maintenance plan, that they understand that this is the goal and that energy efficiency is an outcome that everyone is seeking. So it's more important than ever that not only that you have this external communication so your investors know what's going on, but internally, your employees, your property managers, your engineers, they're the boots on the ground that are really doing a lot of these things. And leasing brokers is another one that's out there that we want to be crystal clear when we're doing leases or renewing leases that this is an outcome that we're trying to achieve. So speaking of outcomes that we're trying to achieve, ultimately, institutional investors are investing in real estate to generate returns. Real estate companies are facing challenges to meet market demand for energy efficient, low carbon buildings, while also trying to generate returns in a tough economy. How do you view the approach that U.S. real estates are taking to focus on transition risk and opportunities in the current economic conditions?
Great question. I mean, these things are hard, you know, and it's hard to do in a great economic environment. So, I mean, we certainly understand the challenges of executing on these strategies also in a challenging environment. But there will come a point where the cost of doing nothing is actually increasing. And perhaps as an industry, we have focused too much on the cost side of things and not enough on the opportunity set. So that's where actually I think the US companies are great. There's nobody better in the world to figure out an economic opportunity and implementing it at scale. And we already are seeing some great US companies leading the way. So I think there's much more to come. And I think once the industry start really seeing the opportunity set, I think that's when the big push is going to come. Just thinking about that, then the first mover advantage could be significant here.
I couldn't agree more. The U.S. is in a great position to take advantage of the momentum towards green buildings and decarbonization. I think there's so much going on. Thank you for sharing these thoughts with us. As we wrap up here, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to take away from this discussion?
So maybe in closing, just like to thank you for being a champion for these topics in our industry. This is a challenge that our whole industry is facing. And there is for sure not one single company that have all the solutions. So there is a tremendous power of sharing knowledge, learning from best practices, and really, really appreciate all the tools and resources that Nerit is putting out there to help all of both investors and companies to move this along in the right direction. So I think collaboration is key here. And together, I think this is a challenge we will definitely overcome.
Well, thank you for that. It's certainly why I was excited about the opportunity to join Nerit and so happy to be able to bring this information to our listeners. You're a great leader. We're lucky to have you here in the U.S. working on this alongside of us as well. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us on the REIT Report. If you enjoyed this discussion and are interested in learning more about REIT sustainability, check out nareit.com sustainability. And we look forward to continuing to bring you insights to help develop and deliver strategic initiatives that create value and drive long-term sustainability of your business. If you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, you can subscribe or leave a review wherever you access your podcasts. Thanks.